The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
This water, some coming from the sky today in our region. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O, straight from the Berkshires to all around the world. You can listen up every Tuesday at 2 p.m. on WTBR 89.7, Pittsfield Community Radio. You can also listen via podcast, Apple, Amazon, Castos, Podcast Republic, and dozens, if not hundreds more. Check it out. Super psyched to bring you the culture of water. Remember to love your water. Super psyched, we're going to have a fire and water conversation today. A little later in the show, we're going to have Lieutenant Scott McGinnis of the Pittsfield Fire Department. And he's going to have a conversation with me, and we're going to discuss, you know, fighting fires and the other element with water. Yes. And So It Flows, your only show for H2O.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand. Just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand. I won't make it any other way. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. Seen sunny days that I thought would never end. Seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Been walking my mind to an easy time. My back turned towards the sun. Lord knows when the cold wind blows, it'll turn your head around. Well, there's hours of time on the telephone line to talk about things to come. Sweet dreams and flying machines in pieces on the ground. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you, baby, one more time again now. Thought I'd see you one more time again. There's just a few things coming my way this time around now. Thought I'd see you, thought I'd see you find me now.
Send me a nurse.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Super psyched to be with you. I'm Leslie, your superhero for water ambassador. All sorts about the culture of water coming straight from the Berkshires, because we are the cultural capital of the world. At least we say so. Those signs say so on the way. Super psyched today. We'll be having a conversation with Lieutenant Scott McGinnis of the Pittsfield Fire Department. We'll be talking about different stuff that the Pittsfield Fire Department is doing. And as our friend over there, Bob Marley, was discussing, no water. And that's some of the conversation we're going to have today. What's it like fighting fires in the middle of a level 2 drought? Super psyched, so stay tuned for the second half of the show. In about, you know, less than 15 minutes, you'll be able to have that conversation with Lieutenant McGinnis. We got some more music coming your way. We got other things. Got a poem. Also some news. This is a little bit of news coming about what's it like to fight a fire in a drought. And this news is coming from the AP, good old Associated Press. And this is, urban fires can mean long trips for helicopters to get water. One firefighter had a better idea. This is in Cabazon, California. Mark Whaling and a crew raced up and down a hill in a tanker truck as they battled a wildfire in Los Angeles County, scrambling to get water from a street hydrant in time to stay ahead of flames moving up a ridge. A helicopter flew in to drop water, but it had to fly a long distance to refill, and a fire that might have been stopped went on to destroy homes. As they fought that early 2000s blaze, Whaling says he spotted a sealed million-gallon water tank nearby that firefighters had no way of accessing. He thought that was ridiculous. We don't tell fire engines protect the city or go find your own water. We put fire hydrants every 600 feet around cities, said Whaling, who had since retired from the county fire department. But when it comes to helicopters, we weren't supporting them as robustly as we should, close quotes. His frustration sparked an idea, the hell hydrant, or heli hydrant, actually, not hell, heli hydrant, a relatively small open tank that can be rapidly filled with water, enabling helicopters to fill up faster for urban fires, rather than flying to sometimes distant lakes or ponds. As wildfires become more frequent, Whaling's invention is getting the attention of officials eager to boost preparedness with these heli hydrants. First used for the 2020 Blue Ridge Fire in Yorba Linda, 10 heli hydrants have been built across Southern California, and 16 more are in progress, according to Whaling. And that sounds like really, really actually great idea. And that's a great idea. What do we call them? Heli tanks or heli hydrants. So great idea. Thanks, AP, for bringing that water news to And So It Flows listeners all around the world. Super psyched. Stay tuned. Second half of the show in about less than 10 minutes. We're actually going to be speaking with Lieutenant Scott McGinnis. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O, where we combine a unique blend of water music, water news, and deep water talk. And So It Flows brings the water outside the cup. I am your super waterman, ambassador for water. A little bit of poetry coming right here. Oh, no, this comes first. A little bit of comedy brought to you by our friends at Talladega Nights and YouTube.
Where'd stock car racing come from?
What?
Hey, stop doing that! How'd stock car racing get its start?
Bootleggers through Prohibition. They had to have cars fast enough to outrun the fast, but they started racing each other.
That's right.
Come back! Close, Fred! Why'd you throw another bucket on me?
I filled up three.
Now,
There's nothing like driving to the board jail. Nothing hones your mind and your instincts like my sissy.
Well, I taped a kilo of cocaine underneath the car and called the boys in blue. Now, the way I figured, you got about 2 minutes before they show up.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. We got a little bit more music coming your way. That little piece was called Colombian Bam Bam from Talladega Nights. I love a little water culture to include water comedy. Got Burning Down the House with the Talking Heads coming right up. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Welcome to the ocean of water culture. Thanks again for listening and tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcast from, and then also go to our Spotify Water Song playlist, the official one for And So It Flows, and go give it a save. Become part of the water vibe in the world, coming straight from the Berkshires, going all around the world. Super psyched. You know why? Because I have in studio... wait, before I do that, we had Burning Down the House as the last song by the Talking Heads. I really don't know if water was involved. However, if you're burning down a house, how are you going to put it out? You're going to have to use water, so it is a water song. Another element. Some people say it's the opposite of water, but still, it's a really great pleasure to have in studio the Lieutenant Scott McGinnis of the Pittsfield Fire Department. You want to say a quick hello to our water-loving listeners around the world?
Why, hello there.
So great to have you. So great to have you. So, yeah, I mean, obviously fire and water are two elements, main elements of living and maybe not living.
Well, there's two things that don't mix when it comes to fire. Fire in a grease pan. So if you have a fire in a grease pan, there's one thing we don't want you to do.
Add water.
Do not put water on it.
Yeah.
Put a lid on it. Put that fire out. If you're cooking with grease on the stovetop, make sure you have a lid on standby in case you have that fire. You put it right out with
the lid. That's great. We're going to go a little further and put together the top five.
But first, that was just my lead-in right there.
I'd love to. That's a great hook right there. Don't put out oil fires with water. Tell people a little bit about you, like what you do.
I've been on the fire department for about 20 years now. I'm currently serving as the fire prevention officer for the city. I'm a lieutenant. I have two inspectors that I'm in charge of, that we go out and we do inspections for the fire department. A lot of smoke, carbon monoxide inspections for the sale of houses.
Wow.
That's a big chunk of our time. We do inspections of hospitals and nursing homes and occupancies that require our inspection on a yearly or semi-yearly basis, whether that be for manufacturing to bars and restaurants.
And you have some credibility in the game of water as an environmental space, because you were mentioning right before we started this interview that you were a founding...
I'm a founding board member of BEAT, who actually asked us to join our open house on October 4th.
That's great.
They're going to be tabling at our open house.
BEAT is a Berkshire Environmental Action Team.
Yes.
And it's actually one of the foremost environmental groups in this side of Massachusetts.
Yes. And they're going to be tabling their program called Breathe Easy Berkshires. They have a sensor on top of headquarters and a sensor on top of engine 6 that they record air quality.
Wow. What are they going to check for in that air quality? What are they looking for?
That's a very good question. I really haven't checked it out as much as I probably should have.
It's cool. I'm interested to find out more about that.
And I'm sure it's particulates. I don't think they go too far into what those particulates are. I'm sure they do kind of figure out exactly what they are.
That's great. That's great. So what is this open house? You said October 4th.
October 4th.
A Saturday.
Right? Yes, this Saturday from 10 to 1. We're going to be having water. We're going to have some pizza.
Water.
Water. Free cold water. Can't beat that. And we're going to have our trucks. You can go in and get some trucks. We'll have some trucks on available.
Hear that, boys and girls?
Yes.
Fire trucks.
Fire trucks. We'll have a ladder, and we'll have an engine that you guys can...
And the single women, they get to see the firemen.
Probably not so many single firemen out there.
Just in case.
I am off. I'm not in that realm. And we'll also have some fire-related safety things for the kids, like staying low and going and different activities and some handouts, too, for kids, not just kids, but for elderly folks, too. We have so cool. some handouts for them also.
Yeah, they could be kids too. You know?
They could be kids too. I mean, everyone does like a flashlight. You know?
Totally. Everybody gets a flashlight.
Or a nightlight.
Yeah, that is so great. Thanks again. Again, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O here at WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 on WSBR and Lee, and then anywhere you can get your podcasts. So, Lieutenant, I'm actually talking with Lieutenant McGinnis of the Pittsfield Fire Department. So, I hear we're having like a little bit of a drought here.
Yes.
In our region. So that's, I guess, a level 2. Are you familiar with what those levels are?
I'm not. I don't have a grasp on what those levels are. I just know it really hasn't rained as much as it has. And you think it's rained more. And if you go by a reservoir, it looks a little bit lower than you would want it to be. Especially if you're on the other end like I am. Drinking that water. So,
sure. And which reservoir is that?
I drove by the one in Hinsdale.
Hinsdale Reservoir. Yeah. And that's all the water for Pittsfield? Or
no,
some of the
no.
water?
There's quite a bit of water for Pittsfield. So we're not in any kind of emergency for water. That's right. For sure.
And you inspect. You have a team of inspectors that go out for fire prevention.
Yes.
Well, do you have more of that list that you did? When was the, you started off the show with one really cool one. Do you have any more of those? What not to do, a top 3 list of what not to do to prevent?
Well, cooking fires is big. Smoking, careless smoking, that's a big list on fire. Actually, I think what they did was they had a program where they really put the lid on it, and that did kind of squash the numbers a bit, and smoking for the cause of fires has gone back up to number 2 for the causes of fires.
Yeah, because people like fall asleep. And their mattress or their pillow
just
or their
careless,
sheets.
Careless extinguishment of smoking material is a big factor of fires. And then you have what's a big problem in New York City. I don't want to say lithium ion batteries, but just
They don't even let those things on planes.
General electrical, issues, with charging cords or the brick that you put in the electrical outlet to the phone, and how you have that, and how is it set up? Is it the right thing for the right object? You just have to keep an eye on your stuff. See if it's overheating. If it's overheating, unplug it. If it continues to overheat and it's getting really bad, stop using it.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense. Now, your inspection team, what are you inspecting? What are you
smoke alarms mostly? Fire alarm systems, making sure that people adhere, or at least people come close to reaching compliance with code, fire code in particular. When they build a house or when they sell a house, their smoke detectors should be in a certain kind of way, the placement of them, and certain types of smoke detectors.
Are there better smoke detectors than others? Are there some to stay away from? Do you know any of that?
Well, Massachusetts has their own kind of view, so they make things a little bit tougher for people to...
Nah.
Yes, they want things a certain way. They want the photo. I want to say photovoltaic all the time because I do a bit of solar stuff, but photoelectric sensors in the smoke detector itself. That's what they want.
What is that?
So that's pretty much what you think it is. Just like a photo beam that goes across to another sensor. And when things pass by it, it alarms when
particulates, if a flame or a
particulates pass by at a certain amount, then the alarm will go off.
Wow.
Ionization is similar, but it uses radiation. It's not using a photo beam. It's using a radiation source.
Wow.
And
is that allowed?
That's the thing. And for the sale of a house, you cannot have it. But if you go into a Home Depot or anywhere else, you're going to find them all over the place. And can you buy one and go stick it up in your home? Absolutely. You just can't sell your house with it.
Wow.
You get what I'm saying?
Interesting. Yeah.
Does it make sense? No.
It's actually, it's not even that. It's like, you know, it is putting out a little bit of a, you know, radiation.
Well,
is that
so? The issue with the ionization detectors was that they were pretty sensitive to cooking smoke. So people always like to put that, when I tell them, like, you don't need a smoke detector in the kitchen, they look at me looking crazy, and they, you know, they itch their head and they look at me. And the smoke detector, the ionization ones, they were too sensitive for cooking smoke. So I guess what they've been doing is they take a pan and they put like 20 hamburgers in them and they burn them to see if
they better be sliders. Because you can't put 20 burgers.
They test these somewhere. And, you know,
it's a lot of burgers.
I wonder who's eating those burgers.
I know, 20 of them.
We got to watch it.
Maybe they sell them at Jack's up in North Adams.
Perhaps.
A shout out to Jack's. They make the greasiest burgers. But they're good. Anyway, get yours with cheese. If you choose to do so, it's not an ad. It's just a culinary treat. You know, right up there with White Castle. But it's all the same after a while. But
White Castle might be safer. I think they cook those in a... like a slow cooker.
They're not
using an open flame or anything. And
yeah.
It just kind of sits in onions and grease, I guess, and
all
they slowly
day.
Cook.
No, yeah. it's one of the reasons I go to New York City. So I come back, I could stop.
Wouldn't you want to just go to Cincinnati and go right for it?
go there.
Oh, it's New York City for White Castle?
Yeah, down there. You know, I'm not going to go all the way to, like, Cleveland. Now... Here's the thing. Now, you inspect with your team of inspectors the things that people need, let's say, the education around how to properly prevent getting rid of fires, like you said, the oil or grease fire. Does the fire department hand out any of these, you know, putting out grease fires with like a blanket of some sort? Do you guys have any kind of
I've
blankets?
I've been asked that question quite a bit when I do fire extinguisher training. This new product out there, and it might not be certified through different NFPA, or might not be put out by a certain group of people, but with anything that's new or anything that you're going to use in that kind of manner, you want to train with it. And you want to know how to use it before you go and use it on the real deal thing. And feel comfortable that...
Will there be a training Do you have a training of that?
For those blankets? No, because that's what... If you go and you buy one of those blankets, that's you. That's you buying it and you using it. For those kind of things, it has to be used for a certain thing. I've seen it used on those, like, grease fires on the commercial. That's fine, but there's still a lot of different variables and stuff where putting a lid on it is the same thing, essentially. Lids, especially if the lid's made for the pot, it's going to fit on there better than a sheet or a blanket.
For sure. You know? And then you might knock something else.
Right, like with like a EV car fire, they have these huge blankets that they'll put over the fire and try to snuff it out. And does it do it right off the bat? Sure, it helps, but it's not a, it's one little thing that you, it's a tool in the toolbox, and the toolbox is pretty big. So
isn't Fire Prevention Week coming up? When is that?
Fire Prevention Week exactly? I think it's the first week of October.
Yeah. So what, during Fire Prevention Week, it's pretty, most fire departments get together to discuss fire prevention. Do you?
We try to put it out to the community. We're constantly talking fire prevention, especially my job. I have to be in the know. I have to see what new codes are coming in.
What other fires happen frequently that people can easily prevent? Any thought on that?
Well, just the way you live your life and how you go about life is a big way to prevent fires. Keeping yourself clean and, you know, organized is one big thing to prevent yourself from,
like,
if you reduce clutter and you're big on that, chances are you're going to effectively use other strategies to prevent fires.
Yeah.
Like,
because a lot of paper in the summer, let's say it's super hot and you have a sunroom filled with papers cause a fire.
There's been things where the neighbor's house on a certain time of the day will reflect light off and put it at another house and start a fire on that house.
That's so wild.
Yes.
So house as magnifying glass for other house.
It happens.
Wow.
It's just the, you know, if it happens for one time, they might not catch it. But once it happens a second time or a third time, it's like the light reflecting off of the glass.
I scratch
my head sometimes, and things are out there like that. A water bottle sitting in your car, if the light is going through it a certain way and it goes on an upholstery or something that's combustible, it could start a fire. So...
yeah, we're not casting aspersions to houses that
with
are
windows.
Magnifying glasses. No throwing.
Just because you have
here.
A window in a house doesn't mean your house is going to start your neighbor's house on fire.
Yes. And at the same time, it's something to pay attention, because glass is very reflective as well as conductive at the same time.
The glass is mostly with the sun.
for sure.
And there's a lot of, there's so many other things out there. It's crazy. Things that are coming out. I'd like to, you know, learn more about the lithium ion batteries and see what kind of direction those are going in. And, they kind of like fell off the kind of scope of the news media, as far as recent time. So,
I have a question. Okay, so for fires, okay, do commercial properties, perhaps factories, plants, large retail establishments, do they have to have one of those holding basins with water to be able to use it just in case they have a fire, like a little mini pond, let's say, or?
Well, that's on their fire protection system. So,
is that something that they normally do? Like, do they have to have water just in case?
If their fire protection system is engineered in a way where it has a firefighting pond, then yes. So, like the National Archives building, at one time they had a fire pond in the front of their building.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there physically. But they've changed the water going to that building, so there's more water going to the building, and they changed certain pumps within that building to give that building more water, so they do not need that water anymore.
Gotcha.
To supply that fire protection system.
Uh-huh.
So that's like a whole, that's like big boy kind of stuff.
This is, we're having our big boy pants on. You're listening to And So It Flows. having some deep water talk with Lieutenant Scott McGinnis of the Pittsfield Fire Department. He's part of the inspection team. He runs that, and he's as they say in Dancing with Wolves, Lieutenant.
No, I'm on the Western Massachusetts Technical Rescue Team.
Okay, cool.
And we just recently took a Swiftwater training course through Water Training Resources, who has members on the FEMA team in Connecticut and the FEMA team up in Vermont. Mm-hmm. And they trained us to a pretty high standard as far as going in the water. We went up to up on Route 2 up there, and we trained up in the Zor Gap. And they actually have a car that they put in the water, and we train removing victims out of the car in water, which is something that, you know, very few places and very few people have the ability to do that. So I feel pretty lucky training with them on that. So with that training that we received, a collective of us from the central part of the state, they wanted to make a team that will deploy outside of the state to respond to flooding events and the like, or what they call swift water, mm-hmm. Moving any kind of moving water. If it's moving a little bit, it's swift water. So. A lot of those scenes you see with people in boats going up to people's houses and getting them out.
That's something you would be able to do.
That's something that we would do. We wouldn't really, it's not like we're a FEMA team. We're kind of just a standard below
them.
Did
you guys have practice of bringing people off a roof or a top?
So there's training for that too. We would do is we take one boat and we put it along the structure. And we take a ladder,
holding
that.
Yeah,
we take a ladder and we put the ladder on the building in the boat, and we have another boat come in and just kind of power into that other boat to make sure that boat doesn't move.
Yeah,
with that ladder on it, and then when that is all set up, we go and we effect a rescue or find the ladder or whatever we have to do.
I'm going to segue into something that's super important.
Sure,
at least a little bit more on the federal space. Is with the emergencies that have been happening around flooding, hurricanes, other things, FEMA, let's say, the concern I have is if, and this goes all around political space, it happened to us and them, and I'll discuss. In North Carolina, there was a huge, huge hurricane that impacted and killed quite a few people, and it was the community that had to grassroots it and bootstrap it because funding was cut. Okay, and then let's rewind a little back into, I think it was 2023-ish, what happened in East Palestine, Ohio.
That was a hazmat incident.
That was a hazmat.
Yeah.
And that was the explosion of multiple rail cars, or kind of the forced demolition.
Right, right.
And that caused a major, major issue.
And
they were left to go bye-bye on their own, too, on some level. Yeah, the people.
The people that lived in the town?
In the town, in two states, you know, in multiple towns. So it hit Pennsylvania, and it also hit Ohio. And it was like they were forgotten about. So it...
The hazmat issue in East Palestine, Ohio. Right?
Ohio, yeah.
So, from what I know from that, and it's hard to in this kind of job, it's hard to Monday morning quarterback things because you're not there, you know, you're not making the decisions. What they did was kind of in our toolbox of things to do.
I'm not saying it's anybody's fault per se, but right. I'm talking the impact and federal response. So that's what I'm speaking to. Like actually the part of These are people, human beings, and the impact, you know, that's what the basic stuff that a federal government can respond to, given the resources, and the human dignity of that. Instead of, like, holding, oh, you voted for the wrong side, we're kind of concerned about something else, and we're not telling you. But that's what I would like to start to see, like a unified, human-centered approach that actually speaks to that. And I'm not saying we have to do anything with that, but, you know, it's part of
the conversation. It's a conversation. I get that. It's whenever the fire trucks leave and, you know, there's that whole cleanup and, you know, getting life back to normal. And it's not easy, you know.
It's a tough thing
because there's a lot of finger pointing and stuff like that happens afterwards. And it's unfortunate that we live in a society that can't get past certain things.
It's like the life.
We have to realize that we're all human and we're here on Earth spinning on this rock, floating around, and the water that we have is the only water that we have. It's not going to...
big blue marble in space.
Right. It's not going to change, you know? We're just going to make it worse. You know, the more stuff we spew out into the atmosphere, it's going to go right into our water. And people have to realize that.
Yeah. The stuff that we put on our bodies as far as, you know, makeups or other things. So water... There's no bad about this. It's more like how can we figure ourselves out of it? Kind of like how to make a pizza. It's hard. It's hard.
But once you figure it out and you get your right thing,
it's the toolbox.
You can do it.
Yeah, and then you could repeat it, and then you could figure it out, and that's the part I think
the repeating thing is. You have to get people trained to the right kind of level and standard to be able to respond effectively to things that don't normally happen. So, like, the rail incident in East Palestine, like, that doesn't happen, you know, on all the time. But when it does happen, it's a high profile, high stakes, high risk kind of thing. And what they did may have not been the best thing overall. What we're finding out as far as the contamination and the pollution that happened afterwards, but it was what they thought at the time was the safest thing. So the safest thing might not effectively been the safest thing in the long run.
Yeah, I get it.
It's not easy. There's not going to be a clear, concise thing that says, oh, this was done right. This was done. No, it was done. You have to move on.
I get that. With basketball teams, my daughter played basketball for Brandeis. They used to have after game team meetings to see what worked and what didn't work so they could put the correction in. And I think that would be great for, you know, as individuals, as well as organized community
efforts. Oh, for sure. For sure. And
see what works.
After every incident, the Pittsburgh Fire Department, we always have an after action review. And we review our actions on the individual, what individuals have done on the emergency scene, to the overall how we, you know, effectively address the emergency situation.
Yeah.
So it's a constant thing, especially on the lower level, on the fire department level.
Yeah,
that's very big, and it's well needed. It's very needed.
And thank you. Thanks. I'm having a conversation with Lieutenant Scott McGinnis, great, great, great conversation. We're having that elemental water conversation between two of the main elements, at least in my worldview, fire and water. And then that being said, he's going to be with us another couple minutes. So where I wanted to end this is, again, this open house. It sounds like fun. It sounds like, is it set? Is
what? Yes, October 4th.
October 4th.
10 to 1, Pittsfield Fire Department Headquarters, 74 Columbus Ave. You come in there, you get to see the fire station, get to see the equipment we use, the fire trucks, get your, let your kids sit inside of it, learn a couple of fire prevention tips.
Are you going to show that film with Robert De Niro blowback for the older folks who come?
No.
No. All right. Too bad. One of the things, what do you see when people interact on a community level with the fire department? What's that like for the firefighters or for yourself when you see that?
They're looking for help. Whether we see people on an emergency basis, they could be either at their lowest point, that they possibly can be.
No, at
the open house?
At the open house.
Oh.
Like the kids, are they like, oh, look at the truck, mommy.
Yeah, they're all over the place, we have Sparky, a robotic dog. Sometimes they love to interact with it, or they don't like to interact with it.
Does it look like a dog?
Yes.
Kinda?
Yes.
Like in an iRobot kind of way with Will Smith?
No, I want to get an actual, iRobot. I want to write Boston Dynamics and get the real deal.
That's so great.
Get a Boston Dynamics fire safety dog that can help us out on emergencies. That would make the most sense.
And if people had questions regarding the fire department or regarding getting in, is there any way they should communicate with the fire department here in Pittsfield?
You can always leave a message, even off hours. You can leave a message at 448-9764. That is our fire prevention kind of hotline. That's who you call to make an inspection or get an inspection from us. If you're going to sell your house or you need your restaurant inspected to have a C of I to maintain your liquor license. So, yes, there's that.
That's great. And
there's also online. You can go online to the City of Pittsfield website.
Uh-huh.
We have there's a whole complaints page ready for you to, whether it be the health department, the building department, or the fire department, you can send your complaints there.
Or you could put a nice review on Google and say, they saved my house. Thank you very much. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Super psyched. Thanks a lot for being here, Lieutenant McGinnis. And you're going to be listening to a little bit more water music coming your way. Let's see what we got going on here. Hopefully it's all lined up. Oh, let's see what's after the talking heads and burning down the house. Not really sure, but we're going to go to the next song anyway. It'll be a surprise for all of us. And So It Flows, your only show for H2O.
Animals need water, people need it too. Keep it clean for me, and I'll keep it clean for you.
Animals need water, people need it too. Keep it clean for me, and I'll keep it clean for you.
Water, water everywhere, and not a drop to spare. Water's in the ground, water's in the air. Although it may evaporate, it never goes away. It snows onto the mountaintops and flows into the bay.
Animals need water, people need it too. Keep it clean for me, and I'll keep it clean for you. Animals need water, people need it too. Keep it clean for me, and I'll keep it clean for you.
You can take a shower in it, you can wash your hair, you can wash your clothes, Oh, wash your teddy bear. Really clean water, well, it's getting mighty rare. And if we want to save it, people need to care.
Animals need water, people need it too. Keep it clean for me, and I'll keep it clean for you. Animals need water, people need it too. Keep it clean for me, and I'll keep it clean for you.
Water is a rain, water is a flood. Water turns dirt into
mud.
Sometimes water's blue, sometimes water's green. Sometimes water's dirty, sometimes water's clean.
Animals need water, people need it too. Keep it clean for me, and I'll keep it clean for you. Animals need water, people need it too. Keep it clean for me, and I'll keep it clean for you. Animals need water, people need it too. Keep it clean for me, and I'll keep it clean for you. Animals need water, people need it too. Keep it clean for me.
I'ma make it rain on you, $200 bills.
$200 bills.
With the real, she ain't f*** me before, now she f*** with the real.
Now she f*** with the real.
Say you wanna chill. Baby, I be doing boss things in and out of town. Say I gotta go before I leave, I beat it down. Love young Khalifa cause her n- he a clown. Baby, I can take you out and I can show you round. Meet important people, won't you tell me how it sound? Saying when I met you, you was lost, now you found. Blow the smoke out, we in the clouds.
I make you rain. I make you rain like a hurricane came. I make you rain, yeah, like a hurricane came. I make you rain. Where tight drip. Getting red. Upset cause we got all that drip. All my big clocks still ticking. 5 o'clock on. Trippin' because I took the band about the night and threw it up. White lick a nickel, told him I'ma put it up. Told him I'ma put it up. Big ass getting ridiculous. And the way that she bends, ridiculous. I'm party baby, finna get lit, lit, lit. Finna get lit, on lit, get me on it. I'm tipsy, God love. I know you love. Love being caught, especially when
that make you mad.
sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled. See? In trouble. Abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.